This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House. I hope you are all safe and well. Today we're going to talk about North London Derby, Manchester City beating Forest, plus the rest of the Premier League. And my guests are the Stadio boys, man. Musa Kwanga and Ryan Hunt.
Yo. How's it going, Ian Wright?
There it is. It's good.
It's a good day.
Is it a good day or is it a great day?
You know what? It's actually not a great day.
Yeah.
Because I'm not disrespecting Spurs or anything, but I expected us to beat them today.
I did as well. I've got to do some admin duty before we get going.
Let's do it.
They might be sold out by the time you listen to this, but if you want to go and check, there's a Righty's House live show on Thursday in London.
With the Stadio boys, baby.
Musa, myself, Florence.
Yes.
Your good self, Ian Wright. At King's Place in London.
Mm.
Is that the place we've done it the last time?
Yeah, different room, but same venue. Mm-hmm. There were a few tickets left. Not sure if they've gone, but go check them anyway. And hopefully we'll see you on Thursday. Also,
yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody.
Just a bit of Stadio admin because Musa and I are with you here and we're doing all the Premier League stuff. We're going to talk about some other stuff on Stadio and put this section of the Premier League on the end of it so we don't have to talk about the same games twice. There you go. Should we talk about the North London Derby?
Yes, let's do it, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Spurs 2, Arsenal 3.
Wow.
I did feel confident going in. And I loved the fact that there was times in that game where, they had like 79% possession or something ridiculous like that. I think at that time, we were 3-0 up. I just loved the way they're coming to try and beat us up. Let's let them beat us up. But like, if they do leave their fucking, if they leave their chin open, we're going to smack it. And that's what we did. I love the way we played because they had a lot of energy for us.
Yep.
They came and they pressed and they looked really quite aggressive in what they were doing.
They did.
And we just dealt with it.
I was a bit concerned by how much Arsenal let them flood the central areas. I felt if there's any criticism of Arsenal early on, I felt like they didn't get the ball out of the middle quickly enough. There was a lot of joy counterattacking wide and it felt like sometimes they were trying to play these passes. They were either coming infield or trying to play through the middle. And I thought that is where the crossbow is. Like, it was clear that Spurs were just coming right down the throat. And I felt like a few times Arsenal were a bit too bold in trying to play out through the middle, if that's anything. And I felt, you know, obviously you saw the Raya goal, but that was just a symptom of what was going to be on time. Actually, my one criticism of Arsenal would be maybe playing out through the middle as opposed to the wide areas because there was so much joy wide. And I thought actually, credit to Arsenal because they've been criticised for their play in wide areas. I thought their wing play was extremely smart throughout.
With Tottenham, why wasn't so worried, Moose, with Tottenham? Because I didn't think that the midfield that they had were going to be able to like cut us apart in passing through that place, through the middle, even with a dog. Even with, who was it? It was Ben Davis trying to go inside with Porro. And some of the times they were so far forward that I was so confident that we could win that ball off of them.
Right.
and then we're straight into them. Yeah. Obviously, they're depending on Van de Ven and his pace, which we saw that he's fucking electric.
Jesus Christ, my goodness.
I thought that we could, at any stage, did you ever get that time in the game, Ryan, where you think every single breakwater here is kind of got a chance of being a goal the way we were?
An opportunity.
Yeah, it felt like that.
Mm. Yeah, I thought that it was actually kind of calm. Arsenal did that thing, a similar thing they did against Chelsea, where they just kind of let them have the ball and it was pretty okay. And quite businesslike. I'm quite into this, well, obviously being an Arsenal fan, quite into when Arsenal get a couple of goals in quick succession. I think, like, you know, the gaps between goals, even though they weren't like super, super quick, like the Chelsea game, you know, 15 minutes, 27 minutes, 38 minutes. Mm. And at a time where, like the second one in particular, obviously you had the decision down near the rim, which I can maybe talk about. But like, I think they just came at points where they just, like, the game showed potential of switching momentum back to Spurs a little bit.
Yeah. Even when they were 3-0, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that like the third one from Havertz, for example, set the potential tone for the second half. Now, I think Spurs, you know, and Ange Postecoglou talked about this, how they're always quite better. They tend to have a lot of better second halves than first halves. But there was that chance for Saka for 4-0, which I think is unbelievable save.
Yeah, that's a great save.
From Vergara.
That's a fucking great save.
Yeah. Tipped up by Havertz, yeah.
That goes in. I think just the game's done. Like, even after that, like, it was...
Can I be honest, Ryan? Can I jump in? I think that 5-minute gap leading up to the Van de Ven goal was just Lavia. I think that was the crucial period. That's why I was a bit concerned, because I felt like that, if I'm going to be briefly critical, I felt like Arsenal just then, in terms of the match control, they had the ball in some key areas and it just felt like they couldn't get the two or three passes to get it wide. And once they navigated that, that was the reprieve. They get to 2-0, and credit to them, I think between the 2-0 and 3-0, it was so impressive. They were spreading it. And the way that Havertz... Oh,
Jesus Christ.
The counter for that, it was like almost they put all the pieces together. They 2-0 up and they put all the pieces together. Classic transition. That pass by Havertz. It's almost so overshadowed good. By... The, yeah, do you know, I think because the Saka first touch was so good... Almost overlooking the quality of the Havertz pass.
Honestly, Moose.
No, and here's, can I say this as well? Can I just jump in? Let me just do some Havertz.
Give
some Havertz.
Havertz love.
We talked about Havertz, and the reason he was brought in to replace Xhaka is that you would not see the improvement immediately, but when Arsenal were firing at with all the elements of their best, he would add the extra gear they did not yet have. And that was not a knock on Xhaka, that was different. So the system change meant that once Arsenal adjusted to what Havertz could do, they would go to another level. And that you goal showed it, showed right it. There, that is why Kai Havertz was bought.
Ken Early was on Stadio on Thursday, and he's not been a massive fan of Kai Havertz. And I kind of pushed back on it a little bit. And we were talking about actually whether he was a... We can do this every time we talk about Kai Havertz, so I don't want to go too long. But like, I think it's... He wasn't... I think Declan Rice is the replacement for Xhaka in terms of if you're looking at it as a pure like for like.
Right.
I think Havertz is this guy that we kind of need to stop thinking about in a positional sense and start thinking of it in a role sense. Yes, yeah. He kind of does really similar things no matter where he is on the pitch, and he actually operates a lot of similar spaces.
He morphs into that position.
Where he is in the pitch.
As soon as he goes into a position, he morphs into it and is top drawing it.
You know, I copped a load of pelters early on in the season being like, no, he's really, really like integral, even though he's not scoring or assisting. He's really integral for how Arsenal defend high up. And now Evra's like, yeah, he's the press.
He's the cartilage.
Exactly. Yeah, he is, man, because he's... And we've talked about how like you've got Ødegaard and Declan Rice, who are two quite ball-dominant midfielders. And if when he plays in a three with them, you can't have all three midfielders being ball-dominant. You need one of them to be more of a, like a space dominance, if that's like, space dominance. That sounds like a kind of space wild dominance. Like Star Wars fucking spin-off.
The Empire.
You know,
what I
mean? You know, like Red Hot Chili Peppers that had like... sorry. They had like John Frusciante and Flea. He's like John Frusciante.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Just that guy just adding, you know, adding those elements, which, you know, you're like, oh, Flea got all the headlines, but Frusciante was, he was quietly cooking.
I think that's really integral because, you know, I was talking about the spacing of the goals. There's like 8 minutes between the Højbjerg own goal and the Van de Ven goal, which, do you know what's really interesting? Whenever there's like a goal that's given offside in the Premier League that's remotely spiritually offside, people tweet us about it. Mm. No one tweeted us that this was spiritually offside.
Yes.
So I was like,
no, that's interesting. That's so interesting.
There was a shout in the lead up to the Saka goal. Szczesny gets clipped by Trossard. I personally think, and I understand why people were calling for this for a penalty. I think if he doesn't have the ability to lay it off to Maddison, I think it's a penalty shout. I think he looks like he's got his back to goal. He's not going for a shot or anything. And he lays it off to Maddison anyway. And he stays on his feet. He's quite honest.
Right.
I think it's one of those that like, yeah, there is a foul, quote unquote, there. It's not a deliberate action, but it's a foul. But I think it's one of those, like, he does lay it off to Maddison, who is facing goal and can actually hit it first time if he wants to hit it first time. So I don't think that there's a... I don't know what you think, Musa. I don't know whether that's me being...
It's going away. You know, I thought it was. I thought it was a soft foul.
Interesting.
And it's a penalty. I know he was going away from goal, but I mean, I saw him go down like that. I just, to me,
yeah, he's trying to stay up.
What saves Saka, what saves Havertz and Arsenal is Kulusevski's honesty and just the speed at which the play progresses, the speed of the counterattack. Because then by that point, it's like you're pulling it back. You're pulling the ball, you're pulling the game back like 70, 80 meters. Mm. And there wasn't a huge, like, it wasn't an outraged protest.
If that was an Arsenal player that that happened to, I would want it, obviously, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, we've been done there. Like, it'd be like, one of those.
Yeah, but you know what the thing with that foul, that particular foul, when you've got, I still think, personally, I would want it simply because when you go into the penalty area, you know, and he's going in at pace. Trossard is not trying to tackle him at that point. He's running back with him, but then Trossard's in the box. His leg is in a place where it's actually caught Kulusevski. You know that one. Then Kulusevski's leg has caught his own leg.
Yeah.
And then again, with his honesty,
yes,
he's tried to stay up. Now, the reason why I'm giving that as a penalty is because as much as people say, yeah, but Trossard didn't even know it was happening. It happened, and it happened in the penalty box.
I think this is the thing about like how like laws, you know, we can get in the real kind of nitty gritty of it, but like how subjective football law is. Because, for example, if Trossard goes to make a tackle there, I think it's more of a penalty. I think because it's not, and he gets the ball off to Maddison anyway.
But it's clumsy,
I don't even think
right?
It's clumsy. I just think it's one of those. Because he's not like, he's I don't think it's clumsy.
You know what? He's running back in, but then, but the thing is that he's running back in the box, and unfortunately for him, in his stride, he's actually knocked Kulusevski off his stride.
Yeah.
If I was in the VAR, I'd probably look at it like that, right? Because I said, you know what? As unlucky as that is, you've actually caught him.
I don't think it's a high enough threshold to turn over, though. I think if Trossard makes an action to try and foul him or get the ball, I think the threshold probably goes up, but I think it's one of those. I think it's like, it's unlucky.
Yeah, but right, you said if he doesn't lay it off, then you said you'd give it.
I think there's more of a conversation there if he doesn't lay it off, yeah, for sure. Or if Trossard actually makes an action.
Yeah, but then right, that doesn't...
Because he's going that way anyway, so it's not like he's taking a shot, right? He wasn't... I know that he might have taken a shot if Trossard hadn't clipped him. It's one of those... That's what I'm saying. All of these variables that we're talking about makes it to me... Yeah, you've got to have a... If you rule the goal out and rule it back and turn that over, the bar is going up and up and up. So that's why I don't think it's a massive howler.
Bam.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. But again, because we're in a place where the rules, everything's just, it's just like up in, it's
reviewed.
Just, yes, everything's reviewed. So you're thinking about this kind of stuff, right? Where maybe we shouldn't be. Can I just move on quickly to that actual break? The break off of that, again, like Moose, you rightly said, you know, once he got, Havertz's pass, our centre forward, what, 30 yards? Pinpoint, but Saka's run, right, which is something for me at the moment, which is a bugbear for me, is our strikers in that position are being so lazy and so naive in the way that they're running forward. You have to be onside. You've got to look in front of you. Now, Saka's run, right, he had to keep going forward, but if he kept going forward, because Kai Havertz really executed that as quickly as he possibly could because Saka was on his way, right? So now, from his own... So then he's made a run, Moose, where instead of going forward, he goes to the right because the defender is obviously starting to run back. But if Saka keeps going straight, he will be offside. He runs to the right. So while the defender's moving... It's like the defender's moving and he's moving right and then he goes forward. So you run sideways and then you run forward. And all that happened.
That touch was devastating. The combination of angle is devastating.
And then Ben Davis in that situation, there's no way he's stopping him coming back inside.
That goal meant that Bukayo Saka is the first English player to score home and away for Arsenal against Spurs in the league campaign since 1993-94.
Wow.
Do you know who that player was?
Let me see. He must have been amazing. I don't know. But whoever it is, to be able to do that, he must be. So I'm gonna. Oh, you know what I'm gonna say? I'm gonna go. Alan Smith. Kevin Merson. It must be Merce. It must Dennis. No, Dennis weren't there. It must be Merce. I don't know, because that is unbelievable.
Englishman, yeah, yeah.
It's the tempo king himself. Ian Wright. It is Ian Wright.
You know something? It's you know what's wonderful about it? That you get mentioned in that way, because at that time, again, I'm just scoring the goals. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. But when it comes back now and they say that, you know what I mean? And then it's Saka.
Home and away.
You know what I mean? It's Saka. It's against Tottenham. What it means to the club, what it means to the fans, what it means to you. And Saka's doing it and he's wearing Rocky's number. And, you know, he's what's it called? He's like acknowledging, that's all I want to do. I just want to keep achieving and try to, supersede these men. And that's what I want him to do. And you know what I loved about Saka today, which I haven't seen him do before? The Tottenham fans, when he's taking the corner for the first goal, were singing, "You let your country down. You let your country down." And he was just there. And then the corner went in. When we scored, he turned around to them and cupped his ears. That's what I want to see.
Amazing.
Now.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
That's what I want to see. Those are the levels. Now. Levels. And then obviously, this is before his goal.
And then the Havertz header, 3-0. Good header from Kai Havertz as well.
Yes.
And
Ben White's fuckery was beautiful there. Beautiful. Ben White's shithousery there was what I'm saying is, he's the thinking man's shithouse. That's the best way I could put it. Because, you know, for him to, you know, not upset, but the way Vicario got upset was just fucking brilliant, because he was absolutely went straight to 10. And all he done was try to, un-Velcro the bit on the glove where he was just touching the glove. Just nicely just going in and just touching the glove. And Vicario was so fucking angry.
It's just like one of those things, though. It's like, you know, if you were walking past someone and you just undid their shoelace in the box.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing.
You're not like elbowing someone or like poking him.
No, he's a thinking man's shit. Because what happened was, is that I was thinking to myself, everybody now, and look where we are. We're 3 games to go in the season. Everybody should have seen that Ben White goes on your goalkeeper and he's going to fuck around with him. Right, so for Tottenham to get to a situation where we get to score 2 goals with no one marking our shithouse on the goalkeeper is poor. It's poor.
They need a plan for that guy. They need a plan for that guy. Yeah, agitator.
Yeah, they brought Saron, and he was marking Ben White in and around there. That's a big mistake. That's a massive mistake. We scored 2 goals off of the back of their goalkeeper. Because when you look at Kai Havertz's header, right? If Ben White has got someone marking him, he heads that in from, I'm talking 2 yards probably. The goalkeeper can at least get to go and do something because he's got someone protecting him so as he can move. No one. Ben White leaned into him and he couldn't go nowhere. It's poor from Tottenham. And that cost them. That definitely cost them, because when we were 3-0 Moose.
Yeah, that's fair.
When we were 3-0 Moose, I still wasn't comfortable because we didn't have the possession we had, because Tottenham were... They didn't do too much wrong. So they didn't lose their energy because they're playing shit. But like, we were just punishing them. And that's why I didn't feel comfortable at 3-0.
I felt like at 3-0 you were cooking. I thought you were cooking at 3-0. I thought the Raya thing.
Yeah.
You're not worried me about it.
It felt like
the Bayern Munich thing.
Mm.
It felt like the Bayern Munich thing. And what I mean by there was that moment in the Bayern Munich game that was foreshadowed, that when the Bayern Munich goal comes, the first one, about 10 minutes before that, you see Raya play a couple of passes that invite pressure, and Bayern start sensing opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him play this pass, I wouldn't say it was a tired pass, because it wasn't like they had a surplus of possession, but it just felt like Victor Valdez would do this. Let me be charitable to Victor Valdez. When he did this for Barcelona, his gift was the build-up play, and every now and again he'd make a mistake like this. He'd play into a tight area, he'd try and force the ball through a gap. I don't think it was a lack of focus from Raya. I think it's that thing of when you're so used to, you know, the whole point of Arsenal is play forward, play through gaps. And then you do this 100 times, you're going to get one howler.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, I suppose, for Raya is that 2 of these have happened in big games, mm-hmm. which are, you know, 2 of the biggest games of Arsenal seasons, Raya's done this, trying to play through a gap. And I think there needs to be, I know that his default is the difficult pass, the tight pass, he's coached to do that. Every now and again, I think there needs to be a conversation with himself or his coach about pass selection and about the score. Like, does that make sense? Because at that point, I think, recognize the state of the game.
Yes.
Recognize that it's 3-0 and actually you've got this under control. And for the next 5 minutes, you're just going to go wide.
Yeah. Because what you don't want to do, and what you don't want to do, especially at Tottenham, who weren't playing badly, is give them anything that gives them impetus to come forward. Take the fans out of it. So for me, it came back to him. And it was, I tell you, when you watch that again, right, you watch Romero, where Romero comes from to end up where he is to score that goal. He fucking presses. He just appeared there. Then all of a sudden, Raya, who is trying to clip a ball into somebody in there with his left foot. And then he half changed his mind. That's what happened. And that is simply because of what Romero done. What I'm disappointed with Raya in that in that situation was, like you say, Moose, not recognizing the situation. We are 3-0 up. We're at Tottenham. They're not playing badly. Mm. Do not do anything that's going to give them a leg up. Don't give them any leg up, because that he'd done that and everything what I was fearing started to come. And they obviously they scored a second goal. But can I just say on Raya's behalf, and credit to him, he was fucking magnificent after that.
He was so good.
That made me feel differently. He was fucking brilliant after that. So I'm thinking, yes, Moose, Bayern Munich, a big game. He makes me jittery, makes the mistake. Same with this game, he's made a mistake. Mm. But in both of those games, I'd probably say his character came through. Did you see the hug Mikel gave him afterwards and a little chat?
Yeah.
That says to me, he's probably given him that because you fucked up and you rectified it. Because everything that went in that box, I'm thinking, he's coming to get it. He took it. I'll give him that. I will give him that. But he worried me.
He went the right way for the penalty as well, which was just a really good penalty.
And it was a tired tackle that for the penalty itself. That is the thing, you know.
I think it was
unsighted, but he's unsighted and swung at it.
Yes.
But I don't think that happens in the first 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't think that level of I don't think missing it. It's not like a knock on anyway. It's just, this is why I'm not trying to knock Raya too much, because although I think it invited pressure, one player is not responsible for the whirlwind that Spurs unleashed. Mm-hmm. They were on the verge of a breakthrough at about three key points in that match where it felt like Spurs were just going to go on like a 2-goal burst.
Yeah.
And they're that good, actually. Like when they got to 3-1, to be honest, I was like, I could easily see this being 3-0.
Easy.
They just had the intensity, the way they were moving. I mean,
They were moving.
Can I throw in a compliment for Martinelli? Because Martinelli's been criticised in relation to how he's played in wide areas, not take advantage of spaces. I thought in this game, if it wasn't for the extreme speed of Van de Ven,
oh God,
the Spurs are in big trouble.
Yeah.
I thought Martinelli as an outlet, not only as an outlet, the counter attack, but also defensively, he just made some key interventions, and I was so impressed by him. Yeah. This is as good a pressure time performance as I've seen from him in the last couple of months. I loved what he did here. I mean, if you think about it, the only thing stopping him from being through a couple of times was that I was watching, thinking the only person that gets near this guy in a foot race is Van de Ven, maybe in the country. Mm-hmm. Like Van de Ven's acceleration is probably his top speed is maybe even like superior to Kyle Walker's, I think. Kyle Walker's so impressive. And Martinelli, just the way he broke, I think he was pulled back by Kulusevski, wasn't he, on the halfway line for the booking. And just as an outlet, he was absolutely, what's that thing that Pep said about him? He's an incredible weapon. This was an example of how you relieve pressure time and again. Yeah. Time and again, relieve pressure. And I loved it. I was really happy with that.
Mm. And I think from a Spurs point of view, because obviously it's a great result for Arsenal. It sent them again 4 points clear of City until the Forest game, which we'll talk about briefly. But I want to kind of big up Spurs a little bit, because I think that even if they don't get top four this season, I think if they finish fifth, they can look back at that and be like, that is an unbelievable season compared to what they thought they were going to get at the beginning. Because losing Harry Kane, getting a manager, I thought Ange Postecoglou was such a great hire, but getting him in, there's a bit of an unknown there, how well he'll adapt to the Premier League. Mm. I think they're ahead of schedule. I think they have played like...
If Villa hadn't gone to beast mode,
for sure. Yes. And I think losing a derby at home always sucks. And there are going to be, for Spurs fans, there's going to be more than enough in there to feel hard done by. But I really think there are some big games coming up for Spurs, Chelsea, City as well, teams that they can do damage against. And I think there's still, you know, I don't think it's done yet, top four. I don't think it's done at all. But do we hit everything on that game?
Yeah, that's quick. Can I just say, just a quick mention for Villa. I'm not going long, but I know they've gone to beast mode and what they're doing, but Chelsea had them. You know, I remember when you see your favourite, your champion boxer who knocks everyone out, like the Tyson, and you see him get rocked. Villa got rocked yes. by Chelsea. Chelsea turned on a blast of form, what made me think, okay, I see where you could be. I see what could happen with Chelsea, because there was a when they came back and scored those goals, I'm thinking to myself, Villa just capitulated in under the pressure. They couldn't get Chelsea, they couldn't keep them off them. It was like a boxer that they couldn't keep off them. That was a really interesting thing to see with Villa, and a very interesting thing to see with Chelsea.
Yeah, but Chelsea, it's going to sound quite a weird thing to say, but there was a pub in a part of London that we used to go to, me and some friends. And we went to every single time, because every time we went, the pint of Guinness we got was different. We couldn't work it out. We never had the same Guinness twice, right? And you never knew. It was like, sometimes it was like a bit fizzy. And Chelsea are like that. From week to week, every flavor is different. Mm. Like, and this is why it's impossible. I fell into the trap a few months ago going, oh, they've turned in the corner, they've done this. You just don't know, because the cast is always rotating. The chemistry is always changing. What Chelsea really are is a team of technically gifted footballers. You struggle for chemistry because of a variety of reasons. And this is why they must be a nightmare to plan for tactically.
Yeah.
They must. I think with Chelsea, you almost have to be like, this is how we like to play. And whichever Chelsea turns up, we'll deal with it. Because the idea of planning for like set moves or whatever, or you don't know who's going to play, you don't know how they're going to combine. And I think this is the funny thing. It was quite poignant watching Conor Gallagher score this gorgeous goal, given that he was the guy that could have won in the Carabao Cup with the finishing. I just thought it summed it up. Like, Conor Gallagher struggles to finish the Carabao Cup final, and you know, I feel for him actually, because that was a big moment for him, but turns up in this game with like
a brilliant goal,
an absolute world. Almost felt that summed up Chelsea's season, just the kind of wild inconsistency. Yeah,
well, Poch said something the other day, didn't he, where something about that they kind of I can't remember exactly the word he used, but he essentially said that like they kind of forget the each result after each result.
Right.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. So it's incredible.
They start from afresh.
Yeah, almost. And it's
the opposite of muscle memory. It's the opposite of muscle memory.
Yeah, but Chelsea almost no like, muscle memory. But he used it in a negative sense as well, in the sense of like, you know, when they win something, they do really well.
It is negative. They can't
do the same thing. But in terms of like after the Arsenal result, which by the way, I mean, I know that the last however long was super nervy from an Arsenal point of view, but hammering Chelsea at home and beating Spurs in the space of a few days, massive. I said on Stadio that like, actually, even though Chelsea got hammered at Arsenal, I actually thought they lined up pretty smart, just like putting four on Arsenal's back four. Arsenal a load of bother actually when Chelsea broke out, even though it ended up being really comfortable for Arsenal. Villa are such a weird side though, because we've seen them like play unbelievable against some teams and then just get cooked, and you're like, where'd that come from? I know that they've got still like a few injuries, and they've had a lot of injury up and downs, but they should be dealing with a Chelsea side.
They don't
side
use
like
it
that
as an excuse, but like, I'm seeing Nicholas Jackson, guys, by the way, just quickly. I've got to mention, I watched him fully again yesterday, and I've watched him in the last 3-4 games, and obviously the chances that he's missed always take precedent when people are talking about him, but I'm seeing that guy's pace, his link, his touch, something's happening. And if he gets that fucking goal scoring right, we're looking at something. There's something in there. I'm telling you. I've seen him do some brilliant stuff yesterday. So, you know, for his sake, because of his age,
I feel like it's a Calvert-Lewin thing.
I hope it can happen for him. Because I've seen flashes where under the right manager, with the right, and if he's got the energy and he's got the mind and the personality for it. This guy's got something. I'm telling you.
Another contentious decision in this game. The goal at the end.
Yes.
I thought it was a foul.
Yeah. I didn't know. We done it yesterday. And again, it was one of those where I was thinking it's just so contentious because, so the ball's gone over. Diego Carlos has looked for Badiashile to try and lean into him. Right. So what's happened is that he's let, and remember, we're talking about the big centre half here. So he's tried to lean into him. He's got it wrong because he's not there. And so then Badiashile was able to then move him and then hit the ball. I just thought that, again, you've got to be stronger there because he has to be stronger, right? And he's got himself in a position where he was able to be off balance, and he's nudged him forward. Then that happens. That happened. People said, yeah, but it weren't a barge because it was in his back. And I understand. And that's one of those, if it was given against me, I'd probably say, well, my fucking center half's got to be stronger there. Yeah. That's what I would be saying, right?
Mm.
That's what I would have said, because the way he was just moved off, he was off balance. He got it wrong. He was trying to lean into him.
And it also fits within the arc of Chelsea struggling to catch a break at this point.
Yeah, maybe.
So Chelsea, potentially unlucky for some people, not unlucky, as is with like every VAR decision. And should we talk about City quickly? Who responded to Arsenal's win by beating Forest 2-0
at the City Ground. I saw no other outcome.
Forest had their chances though.
For a draw, but I think City still pull away.
Yeah, but the thing with this game is, you know, when you go into a game, like I was saying with the Arsenal game, I went in full of confidence. I went in with the same confidence for City because I'm thinking, it doesn't matter what Forest do, they will not be able to stop them. Even if they score the goals, which they have to score, you're not going to get many chances. They're still, for me, are not going to be able to hold off a City side. They're not going to be able to do it. And then when you see the chances what Chris Wood misses, you know, who's in good scoring form, with both chances, he's just executed wrong. He's not, you know, the first one what comes across the goal, again, when you're doing that kind of practice, the main thing you're thinking about is you're so close to the goal, sort your feet out because you've got to get good
contact. He wasn't on his toes.
He wasn't. And so what happens is the ball's come and he's missed it because he's not ready. Same thing what happened with the first one, it happens with the second one. The ball comes across again. Mm. He can see the whole path of the ball. I haven't got no problem with somebody where the ball flashes past a defender and then you miss it because, he was in the way, he moved at the last second.
You see it,
he could see the ball all the way in both of these chances. So even off of the back of that, I'm thinking to myself, at this stage as well, that City are just in their minds, they're locked in, they know exactly what they're doing. You listen to all the interviews of everybody, they just know what they have to do now. Even Guardiola, he hasn't won anything yet. He done an interview afterwards with him, right? And he was saying, you know, people talking about, we know what to do at this stage of the season. And yes, that still comes with some pressure, but you know, we get it done. Bam. That's what we're dealing with here.
Locked in.
I think they're going to draw one game.
You think?
Yeah.
I think so too.
I don't know what game it is.
Is it going to be Fulham?
They got Spurs away. They got Wolves at home.
What I saw us do to Spurs today, you know, City would do that. Remember, Phil Foden weren't playing today as well. Erling Haaland came off the bench.
Yeah.
I think that they will do the same. They will do that to Spurs. They've got that
game. Wolves at home next week.
Well, it's going to be someone we're not expecting.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA, I make calls, I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
West Ham drawing 2-2 with Liverpool. And if it wasn't done before, Liverpool's title challenge is probably done now, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It looks.
And bad. All that argument stuff. It's horrible the way it's finishing. I felt really sad watching that, you know, because you see Mo Salah and Jurgen.
End of an era.
And you know, there was a sadness to that, especially when the game ended and we done a close up of Mo walking off. You know what I mean? He walked off, shake David Moyes' hand, and Jurgen Klopp was walking there as well, and they never even looked at each other. And I think that, you know,
jeez,
when you look at what that fucking club have done under that manager with that player, and for it to be now where Jurgen Klopp is leaving at the end of the season, Mo Salah, you know what I mean, he's a little bit off form, and them not talking is fucking heartbreaking. Mm. It's heartbreaking.
Of that to be public, Ian, then you're thinking, you remember like they had the Paul Pogba thing with Mourinho in training, and it was actually as bad as it turned out. For Mo Salah, like, he's so sort of self-aware. For him to put that body language out in public and then to come in the press conference when they had a chance to actually just dampen it and to say they'll be fired if I speak.
Yeah, he doubled
when
down.
You're putting that out there, you don't care at that point what people think.
So,
and that to me,
broken.
When I saw that saddened me because, something's, yeah. That, you know, you can't interpret too much, but when he's literally putting that out there, is that not the least? Maybe that is more like what Mo Salah's like, but that outburst was so
out of character
and so unlike anything he's done before.
You know what the thing with it is, Moose?
I just thought something bad.
Because, you know, he was very calm. He's obviously probably pissed off about having to come on maybe at that stage I don't know. But the thing is he said something first. He didn't have that energy. How it ended up, he switched because Jurgen came in and said something, and that's when he switched, and then he started to get really erratic, and then I think Darwin Nunez came and kind of moved him over to say calm down, and you know what I mean. I knew that
at
was
which point
be,
you would, because I mean the size of Darwin,
yes, Darwin came in and kind of,
it's bad, like, it's sad. Sad is the word. You know what's so sad about it all, right, as well, what's sad about it is if you think how close. We've said this 1,000 times, but you see how close Liverpool have pushed City. Yeah. No other club in this era with City's wealth and City's combination of exceptional management, talent, recruitment, and wealth, no other club pushes them closer than Klopp's Liverpool.
I remember saying this.
And they have almost nothing to show for the brilliance of the football they've played.
Because this is,
and it's so, it's sad. And some might say I'm being fake as a United fan to this. No, it genuinely saddens me because I am a United fan, but I'm a football fan first. Mm-hmm. Liverpool deserved more trophies for the run that the Klopp took them on. Mm-hmm. They deserve more than this one. They deserve more. And it does sadden me the way that Klopp's time is ending.
Yeah, it does sadden me. Because
he deserves better.
He does deserve it because...
He deserves better. The club deserves better. And the City deserves better.
Yeah, but Luz, I was saying, if it wasn't for Liverpool in those years, finishing one point behind them on a couple of occasions and then winning it in COVID, that team... and that manager, they deserve so much. The Premier League owe them so much. And it looks like at the moment, the way we're playing, Liverpool are handing the baton over to us in respect of, listen, we fucking tried. You know what I mean? You have a go at it. You see if you can try and break that fucking nut because, you know what I mean? They're the ones you have to try and reach with all those things you just listed, Moose, about the ownership and the great manager and the great team and the... everything what comes with Man City. And you know that team, that Liverpool team, this is why they need to sort it out, Man City, and everything what's going on there, simply because that team deserve flowers for how great they've been. But at the same time, if they don't get flowers because we find irregularities, then what the fuck have they taken from Liverpool and the legacy of that football club?
Arne Slot apparently coming in from Feyenoord, which we'll talk about again.
I like this a lot, you know. I like this a lot.
I like it a lot.
It's great. It works out well. I think it's good for everyone, yeah. Actually, this appointment. Anyway,
just very quickly, Everton, after not winning a league game since December, have won 4 of their last 5. They beat Brentford and they are like so safe. So right
safe.
Now.
Oh my God. Safe.
Good for that. Congratulations, Everton.
Can I give flowers to Sean Dyche, please?
Of course.
Tracksuit Sean Dyche.
You have to at this point. You have
to. Give him some flowers for what he's done with everything, what he's had to deal with. And you know what I mean? His team are now safe. Fingers crossed they can sort something out. I was worried for them. I didn't think they were going to get him.
Finalist for coach of the year. Yes. Finalist coach
really?
Of the year, I would say, under all that pressure. I don't think he wins it, but I think he's in the conversation. I think he's in the conversation.
Newcastle beating Sheffield United 5-1. Yeah, sends Sheffield United down.
Yes.
And
Sheffield United, unfortunately, what we're seeing is in the way that the Premier League is moving. Sheffield United had no chance. And they lost Ndiaye and Berger. They lost two of their top players. It was unfair. It was unfair. They didn't have a chance. Mm. And, you know, I'm hoping that they probably go back and see what they can do, regroup. But like, they, you know, you look at them, you look at Burnley, you see Luton fighting for their fucking lives, bro. Trying to stay in this league, how tough it is. You know, someone was saying to me about Luton and they're saying, yeah, well, look, Brighton's survived. Brighton's owner, Tony Bloom, has put £500 million into Brighton. That's the levels, bro, to stay. That's what's happened. So when you look at these three teams and what they were trying to achieve, this league is too much. It's too fucking ruthless.
Burnley go to Newcastle next. Luton host Everton. Forest go to Bramall Lane.
Everton, who are safe, by the way. Everton, who are safe, going to the Kenny. You know, that if there's a shining light for Luton, that must be it.
Yeah. You've seen him cause some problems there this year.
Yeah.
Great goal from Jeffrey Schlupp to equalise with Palace.
Wow.
Against
my goodness.
Fulham.
Wow.
Oh my God. What the hell?
Glasner's Palace continue to pick
can
up
I
points.
Can we mention Adam Wharton now? Because I'm going to, can I give you my take, my hot take quickly? As soon as these Euros are finished, I believe Adam Wharton gets called up to the full England squad.
Love that. I love that call.
Mm. He's coming. Wow. Because I've watched him three, four times now. He's fucking brilliant. He's fucking brilliant. He's top. He's a top fucking six player easily now as we speak. So I'm going to keep my eye on him.
Love this.
Couple more games to get through. Musa, your take on Manchester United 1, Burnley 1, please.
Par for the course.
Wow.
And just like, you know, like, the kind of microcosm of Onana's season. The foul for the penalty but it overshadowed a brilliant performance in otherwise. And I think, you know, he'll get the attention for the foul for the penalty, but prior to that, pulled off a couple of brilliant saves.
Yeah. He saved them.
Ultimately, I mean, a disappointing result, but a fair result. And also, I mean, the only team making United look less consistent at the moment, more consistent at the moment, is actually Chelsea. And that says it all, really. Mm. So, a disappointing result, but like, it's nothing to cry over. Like, United are a Europa League team at this point, and there's no shame in that. At this stage of their arc, no shame in that.
You mentioned Luton fighting for their life, 2-1 against Wolves. They lost, but another good result for Wolves, actually.
Yeah. This is why City need to be a bit... City aren't being complacent about that.
Yeah, I mean, just
Wolves are just a tough proposition. They're just a tough proposition.
One more game to shout out. We need to shout out Bournemouth. Beating Brighton 3-0.
Bournemouth.
Is it Bournemouth's highest ever Premier League points tally?
Mm. Wild.
Which is kind of amazing.
That's
really,
big.
If you think about it.
Mm. It is. Iriola, again, he's got to get some love. Yeah. I'm going to give him some flowers as well. Yes. But can I just mention...
He's in a shout for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he could be up there as well. But what the fuck's happening?
No, absolutely.
What's happening to Brighton? What's happening to Zerbi? Man looks like he's just pissed off. He looks vexed. He just looks like, you know what? I'm done. He looks like he's done here.
Last five games, drawn 2, lost 3, and they've scored once.
Which was that Burnley own goal.
It's just horrible. Mm. And the run of form has been awful. And the thing that was concerning, the kind of spaces appearing in Brighton's back line just weren't there last season. You know, they're cutting. We're watching Justin Kluivert cut him for that third goal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is a level of space he was not given. Yeah. And look, here's the thing about the Brighton model, right? You cannot keep selling your best players year in, year out and maintain chemistry.
That's their model.
And some of the players that have come in for Brighton are replacements, but it is their model, Ian. But here's the thing, it's not sustainable every single season. They lost Caicedo and McAllister. Mm, this is the thing. Everything that Brighton do, you have to look at the context. They lost Caicedo and McAllister, an actual World Cup winning midfielder who literally bossed a World Cup final, who arguably, you could say, the only player better on the pitch at that point, the only players better on the pitch were Messi and Mbappe and Di Maria for that hour.
Mm-hmm.
But McAllister was like a top four player in a World Cup final, and they sold him.
Mm.
And they sold Caicedo, who at that point when he was peaking was arguably the best young defensive midfielder in Europe, in the world, whatever. That is what Brighton, and I keep saying this because the caveats have to happen, and they sold them both for what, like 100 million, and it's just, this is what happens when your talent is just leached. And it is so frustrating for De Zerbi because you bring in these replacements, but they're not of the level, they're still young, and unfortunately the combination of youth, inexperience, and just turnover and lack of chemistry, it catches up with you because everyone else is flying, everyone else is up and running. Those teams you're losing to, they've all got their identity. You look at all of them, they've got a style and they haven't got a high turnover. They've got a set, they've got a squad of players that have played together for a while, and De Zerbi's shuffling the pack the whole time. It's just, I have a lot of sympathy because I feel like his stock has dropped a little in the last few months. Mm. But I hesitate to blame him for that because look, Ian, what other team has lost such huge parts of his team and is expected just to carry on like it's nothing?
Is there anything else we want to talk about the Premier League, or are we done?
I think we might be.
Can I say before we go, I'm really looking forward to seeing you all.
Yes.
For Writer's House next Thursday. I'm really looking forward to seeing you as well.
And you, Ian Wright.
I haven't seen the guys for it's too long sometimes. I don't like it.
It is.
I miss the man.
To get my hugs in.
I really miss the man then. Get some hugs in and a couple of beers.
Anyway, man, listen, it's late. You've had a long day, Ian Wright. Should we let you go and put your feet
up?
Yeah. I'll
speak to you soon, guys.
Yes.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, what a pleasure.
See you Thursday. Oh, actually, before we go,
yeah, go on.
Another quick bit of admin. Very, very sorry. No, we're not doing Women's Champions League. We're going to leave that to Flo and the gang and Counterpressed. And there's no Righty's House for the rest of the week. We'll be back next week. So there you go.
Man. Well, I'll see you guys next week. Mr. Conga, Ryan Hun, thank you very much. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take it easy. Hey, North London's red, baby.